might have a big head, but I'll still wear one of Kyle's dumb hats.
You might think I'm sweet like 818, but wrong me, and I will break your Casa del Sol.
Wait, I'm so glad you said that because I truly was thinking to myself, what's the name of Kathy's fucking tequila?
How could you forget it?
How could I forget it? I guess someone should have had a sip of it so I could have seen the bottle one more time.
I know. Well, I was expecting to come here tonight and be greeted by a bottle, but whatever, I'll get over it.
Shout out, by the way, to Lisa Barlow, who said that she was going to send a personalized bottle of Vita tequila, and I did not follow up on that, but I feel like I should.
Have you tried it?
No.
Me neither, because they don't sell it in New York.
Do they not?
No. It's like, you know, like state liquor laws and stuff. But I have searched high and low. I think they might sell it in New Jersey. So one day I might have to make the trek over.
God forbid. I'm going to pray for you that day.
But like, I have to try it because tequila is my drink. And I'm like,
is
I got to support my girl.
Is tequila your drink?
Yeah, that's my liquor of choice.
Okay, wait, you guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 344. I have some follow-up questions about tequila because I do like it as an idea, but I also remember college, lukewarm, Blarney Stone in Times Square, shit-faced, vomiting, wonderful. And that's after half of a shot because I'm such a lightweight, so yeah. I have to say.
Well, you need the Vita. You gotta go, totally.
I need the Vita, and I needed this guest, you guys. It's his first time in the Clawfuss, and I'm so glad he's here. Actor, co-author of River Dish, The Unauthorized Case Files of Riverdale, and proud Bravoholic with a master's degree in The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm so excited to unpack it all. Welcome to Andy's Girls, Ryan Bloomquist. Ryan, how are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
I am so happy you're here. But wait, can we jump back to tequila?
Let's do it.
So have you always been a fan of tequila?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Like, I feel like, so my go-to is tequila soda. And I'll go out and I'll order that. And depending on the company, sometimes people are like, ooh, he's going for it. She's turning. she's starting. But like, you don't want to see me on vodka sodas.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know what it is about my body. Some would argue you also don't want to see me on tequila soda. But that's another story.
Wow. I mean, I have to say I'm not a vodka or really hard liquor but I do like the idea of tequila. And I went to a private tasting. It was me and like 10 other people, including Dr. Deb, in San Miguel de Allende for Casa Dragones. I just Googled the name because I was like, I'm going to fuck this up. Which is a tequila. It's like a fancy tequila company. And that was fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah. It was,
I haven't
it's
tried
chic
it.
AF. It's like gorgeous bottle.
So chic.
So chic. It keeps you both hot and cold.
You can take shots. And pour it in a short glass.
So if you are a fan of tequila, had you heard of Kathy, and I put that in quotes, Kathy's tequila before this week's episode?
So honestly, I had not.
Right.
But now I want to try it, obviously. I have tried 818, and okay. I will say it is very sweet.
Isn't that bad?
Yes, I didn't like it. Like, I purchased a full body bottle, obviously, and was like, well, I got to try this.
How much was it?
It's up there. It's like
40?
Probably like around 60.
Oh, whoa, Jesus Christ.
We're talking like Casamigos tier tequila here.
I don't know that I've ever bought alcohol. I don't know that I've ever bought alcohol that expensive. I don't know what that says about me, but like,
no, you're better off not spending that.
Holy crap.
But so I did eventually finish it, but it really kind of had this vanilla-ish like texture to it, or not texture, taste. Wouldn't recommend. I hope the Kardashian clan doesn't come after me. But.
Or Lisa Rinna, their close personal friend.
They're friends. If they were friends, wouldn't she have gotten a bottle?
You know what I mean?
She's like, oh, I have so many friends with tequila lines.
Also, when she tasted it and she said, oh, it's very sweet. And the bartender was like, it is sweet. I thought I was in another dimension because when should tequila ever be sweet?
Yeah, in my opinion, it shouldn't. But I guess if you're not a tequila fan, maybe you're doing shots, it goes down easier. I don't know.
Isn't it supposed to be? And again, did a full tasting night in this like mansion thing, and I don't remember any. Which says it's everything to do with me. When people start getting scientific about from the, I lose all sense of everything. I'm not meant for science, totally. I don't think it's supposed to be sweet. I thought it was supposed to be like deep, maybe?
That sounds right. We should have been on the helicopter with Ramona to learn all about tequila in Mexico.
We missed our Skinny Girl adventure. Have you tried Skinny Girl?
Yes, of course. Which is, listen, like when I'm sort of like, when I'm having like a trashy...
Frisque?
Yeah, sort of my like... Like a mom night, I like will purchase a bottle of Skinny Girl margaritas. There was a dark period of my life. I was doing a regional show in, say it with me, Peoria, Arizona.
Okay.
And I lived right next to a Target. Okay. And they had like a good selection of Skinny Girl products. And that was sort of my, how I got through.
Wow, did you do the different flavors?
I tried different flavors. I kind of did it all. She had the seltzers at the time,
too. Oh, those seltzers were bad.
They're so bad.
Did you try them? They were terrible. I don't know how she fucked up seltzer, but I mean, my God, she really did. Where there's a will, there is a way.
Yeah. I remember tweeting about it at the time. And I think I said, like, oh, I'm drinking a Skinny Girl seltzer, and people think I'm, like, chugging alcohol at 8 in the morning. And Bethany quote tweeted it and said, like, no shame in your game.
Oh, my God.
this that was, like, early Twitter days.
It sounds like Bethany today.
Yes. Yeah. I was just watching a video on my way up here of her talking about celery, how it's the new kale. You heard it here first, everyone. Hey, G listeners.
I don't even know how to process that.
You shouldn't.
I don't think I could. Celery is the new, aren't they all just vegetables? I don't keep track.
Yeah, I guess it's gonna be the new trends.
Can you imagine celery being a trend?
No. Celery is made for like Lunchables, and that's it.
Celery, I am one of those people, I can't have celery. I know people, well, remember ants on a log from our youth?
Yes.
Celery, yeah. Peanut butter, and little raisins. Yeah, the ants. Yeah. Kind of odd,
yeah, weird
situation, but I would just do a plain celery moment, God forbid, or like maybe, you know, fuck it up with some hummus, but like I don't know what else you can really do with it.
Yeah, celery's never been for me, but
yeah, it's specific, it's stringy, it's the string cheese of vegetables.
Yeah, if Bethany says it's the new hot thing though,
then we know to avoid
it. Trust it.
Yeah. So I have to ask you, when did your housewives journey begin?
Ooh, it started with New York.
Okay.
Not to, you know, inflate Ramona's head anymore. But for me, that was my journey.
Yeah. Safe space.
Yeah. And I think I just, you know, at the time I was this closeted boy in suburban Connecticut. And I said, what's this? And I'd been watching Desperate Housewives again as a closeted boy in Connecticut. And I think I was like, oh, this sounds similar. And then I sort of, you know, started delving in, and I said, what is this? This is my everything. This, I connect to this. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know why I connected to these women, and yet they changed my life.
How so?
I think just my daily vernacular, what I care about, what the dumb things that cross my mind, maybe at least, you know, twice a minute.
Yeah. So when it came to like certain New York City moments, I think, I don't know why I keep going back to this in my head, but it's staying with me. Bethany v. Carol, where did you land?
Ooh. Man.
It's tough.
Yeah. I honestly, and this is scary to say.
I hear you.
I think I was like kind of Team Bethany at the time.
Tell me.
I'm trying to remember the specifics of it all, but like, yeah, I think it also comes down to this. Listen, Bethany's a monster.
Okay.
she's, I don't believe she's a good human. Mm-hmm. I believe she's out to get me.
Personally, based on that seltzer alone, honestly. Yeah,
no, I got on the subway tonight and I looked by my back and said, is she there? But she's good TV.
Yeah.
She knows what she's doing.
Great TV.
Yeah. And Carol, I don't need. You know, I don't need her on my screen.
Oh, got it. Okay. Was she a little bit too cerebral where she was kind of like purposefully on the outside, you know, like kind of like on or outside the bubble of the universe? Was that she wasn't engaging enough, perhaps?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, the stuff with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you got to come play the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was one of those. She came up in conversation recently, I think, in a discussion about the BH reunion and what do certain responses and social media, yada, yada, mean for like the cast next season who's coming back. And someone said, you know, like posed the question, well, has a housewife ever been fired before a reunion has been filmed? And I said, that would never happen. Like, it just would never happen. Would make no sense for anyone. You wouldn't be able to convince that person to come on the reunion. It would just be, it just literally wouldn't happen.
Right.
But then I remembered that Carol's announcement that she was leaving, I think, went up like the week-ish before the reunion aired, which is obviously very different.
Totally.
But it did feel like a little bit of a fuck you to production in spoiling it. You know what I'm saying? Like, not that leaving the show is going to be a part of the reunion itself, but just the idea of like, regardless of how this goes down, just so you know, I've already left.
Yeah. You can't fire me. I quit.
Right.
And everyone's going to watch the reunion with that already in their minds. Mm-hmm. And you can't, the editors can't go back and add that element in.
It would be tough.
Yeah.
So which franchises do you watch? Do you have a focus, like a couple that you're super into?
New York will always have my heart and can't wait for it to return.
In whatever way.
Yeah. Beverly Hills, of course. Mm. Potomac is really just...
Oh, my God.
I mean, you can't ask for much more.
Truly.
Right.
Truly.
Yeah. And then I went down some of the rabbit holes of some, you know, short-lived D.C.
Did you?
Dallas. Ooh. Dallas lasted a bit longer.
Yeah, but that was, I don't know, like 5 seasons? I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, I don't remember. Who knows? Yeah.
I've kind of blocked it out of my memory based on that last reunion cycle. But so Potomac, what did you think of the trailer? Did you watch the trailer?
Oh, I can't wait. And I am an unapologetic Ashley Darby and,
oh my God,
and Candace.
Okay.
Stan.
Are you?
I mean, Deep Space is...
Album of the year.
It's actually good. People laugh at me when I talk about it and I'm like, have you listened? And they say no, and I'm like, you have to listen. I will share for the AD listeners that I will be at opening night of the Deep Space nationwide tour.
Is she going on tour?
She is.
Where is that happening?
So, annoyingly enough, I live in New York. She's not coming to New York.
Okay.
Which feels
missed
like a choice.
Yeah, I don't know why that's happening, but okay.
But she's doing all these City Winery locations.
Oh, maybe it's a... Well, City Winery has a location here. That's so weird that she's not doing New York.
I know. They could give her a Monday night.
For real. Do a Tuesday at 7.
Yeah. No, I will be going on a Wednesday evening to Philadelphia. Which some have called the sixth borough. So it's like,
wow.
I hemmed and hawed, and then I looked at, I was like, honestly, it'll take me the same amount of time to get to Philadelphia to see Candace than it would to go to Brooklyn to see a concert.
How long are they going to take you to get to Philadelphia?
Like an hour and a half.
Via bus?
Amtrak.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm really going for the merch.
Okay.
And hope, Candace, if you're listening,
I'm sure she's
do
not.
Want...
I'm sure she... There's no chance of that. But yeah, go on.
No, I want just a Deep Space Tour t-shirt.
I mean, listen, may her memory be a blessing. Erica Jane's tour merch, not that I saw her live, I didn't have the pleasure, but those like cute little shirt. Remember the shirts that she came out with that like Andy would wear on IG? Fabulous.
Yeah. I'm in possession of one.
Are you?
I made the mistake once of going to a gay party, which is, again, my memoir. But I was like, I wanted a tank top moment.
Yes.
So I cut it.
Oh no! Was that a good call or bad call? You can't ever
come back.
Cute
enough, but sometimes I want the t-shirt back.
Right, I would have stuck with the t-shirt and just rolled up the sleeves.
Well, yeah, but you know these gays.
Have you?
they would have called me out.
Have you seen Erika Jayne live? Did you get that at a concert?
I did see her again. She didn't actually come to New York, came to Jersey City.
Okay,
which is enough. That's easier.
Yeah, that is the new sixth borough. Yeah.
But she was actually, like, again, it was a great concert.
Where?
She was on for maybe, 35 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Did she have an opener?
It was just her, baby.
What was the space like?
It's sort of your typical
garage.
Concert hall.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Got it.
People were there.
Mm-hmm.
But not really the crowd you'd expect. I sort of expected, I guess... Bravo gays.
Yeah.
And it felt a little straight girl Jersey vibes, which I love my straight girls from Jersey.
Right.
But
we thought it would be a little bit gayer.
Yeah, I said, oof, I'm really the only one who's sick enough to come to Jersey City to see Erika Jayne.
You would have thought there would have been some sort of bus accoutrement.
I thought bringing
the gays to
and
the church.
I would hope that, again, that would happen in the future, but probably not now. I know we're just, like, rambling now, but, like, did you see Erika Jayne in Chicago?
I didn't have the pleasure. Tom nor myself really made the time to make that happen, but I heard she was strongly good.
Yeah. I mean,
good plus.
Well, it felt like going to see your friend in high school and their high school show, like, do the lead role.
Love that.
You know, and even the whole experience itself of going to Chicago, which is maybe post-pandemic it's gained some steam, but when I saw it, she was tired.
Yeah, I
walked
been on
in.
Broadway for so long. They've been doing stunt casting for like 15 years.
Yeah, but she was the most effervescent person on stage.
Wow. And how did you think of her? I mean, did she fit in with the show?
She really did. She sang well. The Hot Honey Rag, she was a little behind on choreo, but it was like her first week. So I cut her some slack. What I wish I had known, though, is what she was going through in real life then.
Yeah.
You know, because I had no idea that she was actually, like, you know, talk about art mirroring life.
I mean, one would wonder if she were to return to the show, what that experience would be like. Because the LOL on Chicago, and guys, if you don't know Chicago, watch Chicago the movie.
Right.
You've got that available. But the idea of this woman... And like the focus of the media attention and everything else, that playing out, knowing, as you said, what she had been going through actually and sort of disputing on camera for a couple seasons of like lawsuits are happening, but they're not real. And, you know, this thing got, I was going to say canceled, this thing got settled or whatever happened, thrown out. So there was a feeling that this was not what we all now understand it to be, which was very real, very serious, and much larger than what anyone could have expected.
Yeah.
For her to know potentially that was coming down the pike, my goodness.
And there's Tom Girardi, just Amos. Cellophane,
oh
my Mr. God. Cellophane.
The parallel. Do you think that she could return? I mean, I could see them sending her an offer.
Well, again, this is where I'm sick in the head because I'm like, well, if they offered her it now, oh my God, they'd sell tickets like crazy.
They would.
I don't, like, I think so, but I don't. Sometimes I'm surprised that people don't care as much as us.
Do you think that, what do you think the morality factor is in, you know, going to an Erika Jayne concert, noting that she has said she's working on new music, she's hoping to tour. Who knows what that experience would be like, because before she had a much larger budget than now. So I don't know how that would change things in her capacity. But what do you think is there a morality behind potentially attending a concert versus the idea of this is a circus and I want to see what it's like?
Yeah, you know, the best comparison I really have is going to see Lea Michele in Funny Girl.
Yeah, which you also did.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And there were those moments that I bought the tickets and I was mm-hmm. so excited. And then, you know, frankly, I like tweeted about it. And then, you know, you get the people in your comments that are like,
how dare you?
You should be ashamed of yourself. You white gay supporting this racist. You're racist. All like, I'm not all valid opinions. I personally was just excited to see Lea Michele. I hope we are living in a world where seems to be proving herself to have listened and shown up in a different way now to the show. That I could be wrong. I don't know the truth. And I'm not saying that talent should overshadow people's real mm-hmm. their stories that they've yeah. experienced on behest of her monster side.
Mm-hmm.
But she was phenomenal.
You know, and there are so many terrible people in the world. But the interesting thing with Lea is I was listening to a conversation about the Lea Michele Funny Girl of it all. And the conversation was around like, and, you know, then she came to Glee and she was a horrible person on Glee. But in fact, when this all went viral, she had castmates from Spring Awakening saying she was a monster then. She was, in fact, misbehaving even pre-Spring Awakening, also in theater production. So it is an interesting thing when I think people think that Hollywood changed her, but I think Hollywood only strengthened what was lurking within for a while.
Totally. I will say I was probably like 15 at the time, and I did make the mistake once of trying to take a photo with Lea Michele under a dripping elevator. Not dripping elevator, God, dripping AC unit.
Oh my God, how'd that go?
Ooh, not well.
Did she roar?
Oh yeah, we did not get the photo.
We did not.
No. And I remember at the time being like, oh, that wasn't nice. But that, you know, I was a geek at the stage door and she just wasn't in the mood. But
I don't think she was truly ever in the mood. But this is like the kind of you know, there is a little parallel here, albeit terrible, to what's going on in Beverly Hills in the sense of performing grace. And Lea, I think right now, finds herself in a situation where she's trying to do her best to like keep on the straight line of like, you know, not telling people that she's gonna like shit in their costume or their accessories, whatever she was saying on the set of Glee, like where she's trying to come across and maybe also be genuinely respectful and kind and courteous and humbled. But there's a performative aspect to that. And then we look at what's going on with Erika Jayne and it's like, ma'am, some of these people, some especially the ones in your alliance, the Fox Force, are looking for you to perform grace and humbleness and at least appreciation or decency or sense.
Totally.
And sometimes you're willing to play the part and sometimes you're not.
Right. And you think you would know that you're on television. You've done this show for how many seasons now? Like, just play the part, babe. Like, I don't, you know, be a monster. Like, be a monster, but like, kind of be cognizant of how you're coming off. I will say, like, Lea, her opening night, she would not take a bow by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me, I said, that's so interesting. I might have been reading too much into it, but I'm like, she is aware that we are waiting for her
yeah.
to throw Tova Feldshuh off stage
mm-hmm.
and take her big solo bow, mm-hmm. and she would not do it. She grabbed Tova by the hand and like would only do a duo bow, company bow, acknowledge the company. Again, seemingly very performative, but at least she's aware enough that like to do so.
Yeah.
Whereas Erika is like, wake up, girl.
Yeah, I feel like whatever, you know, like there was a recent profile of Leah in the New York Times discussing kind of like the idea of her being potentially humbled as a result and quasi acknowledging misbehavior, although not really. It was like a light media gaslight of the specifics of what she allegedly, how she allegedly behaved on and off sets for many years. But with Erica, what's so interesting, I haven't kept up so much. Do you ever watch the after shows for Beverly Hills on YouTube?
Not really.
It's tough because you know what? It's, they're giving us a lot and I'm not going to complain about it, yeah. But it's like my great aunt, Beatty, may her memory be a blessing. If you went to a restaurant and she had a big plate of food, she would yell at the waiter. She's like, this is too much food. There is something to be said about like, oh my God, 20 minutes of edited content. It's too much content. But I do typically enjoy it, although I have missed several episodes of the typically two-part after shows on YouTube this season under Bravo TV's YouTube channel because it's just like too much.
Yeah.
But I was watching, before we started recording, I was watching the after show from this week's episode, which we will, guys, don't worry, get to for 5 minutes and then go back to talking about Lea Michele. But I was watching the after show and Erica, seated with Dorit, which, fascinating, made comments about the expectations other people have placed on her. And I'm hopefully not completely misquoting her characterization of it, which is entirely possible. But it seemed to be that her thesis was like, people expect me to be robotic and not have feelings, dot, dot, dot. That's not who I really am. And yet the perception that I'm getting in watching these episodes is like, ma'am, people feel that way because of your behavior. That's what you're showing us. And then you're sort of threatening people into assuming that you're someone else in the way that she interacts with select members of the cast. It was kind of a wild turn, I would say.
Yeah, she's just not doing herself any favors.
Any favors. I do have to say, though, this week's episode of Beverly Hills to me felt in many ways like a return, a restorative step back, at least into the way that BH episodes and beach trips have been, in that I thought it was a fantastic episode, the best this season, which is not exactly a high bar, but I thought it was great, which was like shocking to me.
Oh, I laughed, I cried, I danced, laughed, I cried. I had many epiphanies. It was. I thought a really, really great episode.
So what was your favorite? Yeah, tell me everything. Tell me everything.
Honestly, my favorite moment, which is so specific, but it maybe, like, it sort of felt kind of like a New York moment, but maybe it was just old school Beverly Hills moment.
Okay.
Was just Rinna walking through town looking for the girls.
With her open.
She's like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave.
Yeah. I loved it.
And then she's
it.
Like, where are they? Where are they? As if she doesn't know the call sheet. There's the producers, but the thought of her just wandering through Aspen really kind of tickled me.
Rinna had a great episode. You know, she's going to fuck it all up.
Yeah.
But I thought she had a really strong. I honestly thought, even the questions that I have about Dorit, like, I really thought everyone had a great episode. And guys, trigger warning, okay? I know this is hard for people to listen to, you know, thoughts and feels that they may disagree with, but welcome to Andy's Girls. We have uncomfortable conversations and people have differences of opinion. And guess what?
Mention it all.
We're here to just listen. For those of us,
the things you say, AGs will listen.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I have to say, watching Kyle cry in that hat store, because people weren't respecting her hats, aka her center diamond-esque push for energy, was spectacular. Spectacular.
It was great. We've got to talk about, where should we start? I'll say what I was thinking.
Yeah, tell me.
What sort of deal does Kimosabe have with
Bravo.
Yeah.
I think it truly is important to Kyle. I think that Kyle genuinely was thinking of this scene in this moment of being treated as someone special by this beloved store. Like, genuinely, I think that meant something to her, that she could bring her show into this place that I think is very special to her. And this was...
She loves a hat.
She loves a hat. And this was also Kyle's trip. I mean, she brought her fucking husband. Like, this was going to one of Kyle's favorite places where Kyle has a teeny tiny beautiful... Not really, but like teeny tiny little house, ski house. Cute. Perfectly cute. I'm shrugging. Yeah. You know, showing she has gobs of fucking money, doing the things that she wants to do, looking adorable, attempting to have control of creating and leveraging conflict around things that she wants the women to fight about, dealing with the fact that Kathy is there and less easy to train, and then going to this event for this space. She loves herself a hat. She wanted to treat these women to super expensive hats on flambé and have her moment. And the other women, the women that I think she assumed would be first in line, did not show up for her the way that Sutton and Crystal and Garcelle did.
Right. Yeah. Now, you would know better than I, but have other shows been to this store before?
Kimasabe?
Yeah.
Or as Kathy called it, wasabi?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Ramona's Instagram's from there. Okay. I think fairly frequently. So, like, I knew the store.
I think it's a happen in place, genuinely, in Aspen. Yeah. I think it's, like, a place. But I also have to say I don't know Aspen from a hole in the wall. When we went skiing when I was little, I don't remember my parents. You know, I went on a ski trip in junior high and had a fabulous time in the lodge flirting with a fellow seventh grader and drinking hot chocolate and eating croissant. Like, I don't remember.
I love that.
I think snow was there. I don't remember anything else about it. So, like, I truly don't know anything about Aspen. But we were definitely getting seemingly a lot of pizza, though, for bougie Aspen. But maybe it's just like a chill Aspen's, like, kind of... It's like a cold weather Hamptons, maybe, where, like, we pretend that we're relaxed, but everyone's in fur and $750,000/$1.3 million diamond earrings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've never been. But if any listeners have an invite to Gay Ski Week, I will go.
Is that a thing? Gay Ski Week in Aspen?
I don't ski, but I love...
You don't have to ski.
I love après ski.
I love après ski.
Yeah.
See, that's like a
Bethany
Frankel.
That was a great show, too.
I didn't watch it, but that is that's a Bethany Frankel classic, is to do a little après ski,
yeah,
which we're into.
But yeah, I mean, that store, it just got so much play
play.
What's going on here?
But I love that. I love those episodes where it's like this random, too many of us, except for, you know, those in the know in Aspen, or those who frequent Aspen, rather. But, like, the way that we have expressions, like, when certain housewives in Miami or whatever are going to, I forget the name of the bougie restaurant, when they're, like, on vacation, and Ramona only wants to go to restaurant X, and they're going to, like, a sandbar. Like,
difference,
Le Biblioquet, maybe, is what it was. I forget what it was. But it's like that kind of thing where you use the name of the restaurant over and over and over again in arguments. I love that.
Yeah,
so, like, the fact that we will have this magical hat establishment.
When I'm there for Gay Ski Week, I will be going.
Yeah. Are you going to spend $600+ on a hat they gently, gingerly sort of light on fire?
If whatever daddy's invited me to Gay Ski Week wanted to buy me a hat, I will.
You should get Rinna on the inside of it, regardless. Yeah. I would love to see that happen.
Because there's that store, and then the store that Dorit and Diana went
French
to,
store.
Which only exists in Aspen and somewhere in... fancy another fancy
I forget the name yeah
Alps.
I forget yeah. I was extremely into it.
You know who I hated? The sales attendant
who
Dorit walked in. Well, just because Dorit walks in, right?
And
but I'm already dying because she goes, chic, oh my, this place is so chic, and I'm like dying already. And then, you know, she made it known that she's been to their other location, and he's like, oh well, yeah, only people in the know would know, like, our, you know, things, and we only make 25 of each outfit. And I mean, he was just doing his job. I don't actually hate him, but
is it 25 to 30 per location or in total? Because there were several locations. So does that mean that only get two of every size or something?
I don't know how it works.
Someone should
ask
him.
Yeah.
I should slide into their DMs. And be like, hi.
Well, when I'm there.
Right. When you're there, yeah. When you're skiing,
yeah.
And living your best life.
Yeah. Or drinking Casa del Sol.
So, how have you felt about this season so far, watching and being a super fan of Beverly Hills?
I've been, I'd say, like, middle of the road, actually. I've really been, I don't think it's a bad season.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be one that I revisit over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm enjoying the twists and turns. But yeah, it's kind of a boring answer, but it's sort of a boring, like, it just feels middle of the road for me. This episode really felt special, like, and exciting. And I'm hoping next week, next week seems to have promise of being exciting. But yeah, I don't know. Where are you standing on it right now?
I mean, I've had a lot of issues with the ways that the storytelling has been done. I think it's been incredibly problematic at points and, like, unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the cast behavior on social has kind of ruined it.
Totally.
Rinna just continues to melt down as the days go on. But I thought that this week I just felt kind of like, I don't know, there was something about seeing Kyle melt down. If we're going to talk about specific moments from the episode, there is a moment that she screamed at Dorit in her kitchen. And then Kyle herself kind of recoiled when Dorit held her accountable.
Yeah.
And there was a look of, like, confusion and shock and almost disgust on her face where Kyle's like, what did I just let out? Like, she was screaming at Dorit, and then she kind of froze and, like, had a moment to herself of, like, oh my God, did that just happen? Did I just, like, release that from my body? Which I found so interesting because I didn't expect Kyle to be at the brink, but I think there's a lot of stuff that just is, she feels defeated or disrespected, which is interesting when you note the ways that so much of the Fox force has banded against, or, you know, turned on Garcelle or Sutton or Crystal separately. And yet this is the thing where Kyle's like, why don't you understand that Erica's misbehavior doesn't make her a victim of it? Like, right. She can't be the victim of her own rage used against others. Like, if she's embarrassed or ashamed, why am I being blamed for it? Which is something I wonder if she'll forget, you know, now that they've kind of made amends, temporary or otherwise.
Yeah. And I think one of, like, the fascinating things with the season, and I don't know, this might just be my social media bubble.
Okay, cool.
But it's like I feel like, to me, seemingly most people seem to be on Sutton Garcelle's side. But I feel like watching the show, the other girls think they're getting a good edit and team and the popular team,
right,
among the audience.
I think that's a great point, because I think that there's an expectation that they have that's resulted in how eps have maybe, or how drama or how the narrative has gone for them the last couple seasons, maybe from LVP leaving in the middle of the season on, where they've just kind of expected that the ways that they were received that season will continue by a however big percentage of the audience. And I think that expectation is maybe bleeding into why this season isn't working out well, because they have that in their back pocket. And in some ways, the show does seem to bend toward their will. Like, there was stuff going on in real time that wasn't a part of drama, while this superficial or unnecessary drama was used in episodes, which is a question that I think a lot of people have. Like, why wasn't this stuff that was happening in real time ever acknowledged, let alone discussed?
Right.
But I wonder how that will influence the reunion, because Lord knows the network and production have seen the responses of people. Noting, by the way, that our social media, as you said, is in a bubble. So I don't know, for the vast number of people who aren't on social media but watch Housewives, like, I don't know what their experiences are watching the show. They might be enjoying it. I don't know. And also, you know, our social media, obviously, it's like through the lens of, like, who you follow.
Totally.
So that's going to probably lean a certain way, too.
Yeah.
So we're not getting the full story. But it is kind of interesting to watch it all sort of seem to burn down.
Yeah.
And then have an episode with this, like this week, which felt like, oh my God, it's possible to talk about these women and experience these women and see Erica continue to be a fucking disaster and a mess, but not feel like the weight of that being the only thing in these women supporting her in that. At yeah. least we got to see a little bit of a peek into like people in Erica's alliance whispering, ooh, maybe it's not great that she is saying these victims aren't real. You know, like right. at least we got to see the smallest possible bar, but at least we got to see it.
Right. Now, if you were Dorit, would you have stayed with Erica or would you have gone to Kyle?
I think I would. It's such a good question. I think knowing Kyle and knowing that Kyle's really sensitive and as a Kyle, I probably would have been like, suck it up. Let's go to the store. Or if you, as Erica herself said, you should go. You're friends with her. Dorit ignored it. I understand, like, on the after show, Dorit was talking about how upset Erica was and that she, like, and Erica was like, I spent all night crying or Dorit, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Noting that and noting that like she might feel bad, but also this is a result of her own poor behavior. Part of taking responsibility for that, I think, is like being there for your friend who's been there for you and going. I don't know, that gets into like the Erica of it. Also, if Dorit, knowing how close Dorit and Kyle are, I would probably say to go. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was a good moment when Erica was like, go. Like, yeah. you're friends with, you know, she's right. a close friend.
Right.
I'll be fine, babe.
Right. Like,
I thought that was actually a good moment for Erica.
Yeah. What would you have done?
So.
It's tough, right? I actually don't know.
It's tough, too. And then you add on the layer that we don't like to talk about, but it exists, is that, like, you're filming a show.
Of course.
And what
this
are,
might feel, like, more interesting.
Like, what are you going to do? Film Erica and Diana having dinner? Mm. Like, or lunch or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just watching paint dry.
Right.
So I think I would have pulled a Dorit maybe. Mm-hmm. I think I would have had a conversation with my Kyle mm-hmm. earlier and said, hey, do you mind if I, Dorit's really in trouble here.
Erica's mind really if I, in trouble.
Or, yeah, sorry. Yeah yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah. Erica's really in trouble. You know, mind if I stick back? You know, like,
well, that was a part of it, is that Dorit didn't say that this was happening. So it was taking, like, it was however long into the little, you know.
Totally.
Moment.
And Kyle, as a friend, should understand, but, or she couldn't and be like, no, I really want you there. And then Dorit could sell Erica, like, hey, Kyle really wants me.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life.
Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jill Zarin and your life and mine. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I think it's tough. I think the Dorit of it all, I think Kyle was honestly feeling so sensitive and so frustrated with Erica's poor behavior that I think she felt like, why is Erica the one getting attention when she is the one who was acting out?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair too. I will say it was all worth it for the drink ordering alone. Because, like, I've seen, I'm not a big horror movie guy, but it truly was like my scream where I'm like, carcass out, carcass out.
And short glass. The glass did not look right.
I know.
The glass did not look right.
It was just an incredible moment watching Erica order and knowing that we all collectively were just like screaming it at our televisions.
I also separately, but sort of relatedly, did enjoy Diana for the first time kind of starting to understand the show that she was on, in like trying to help Erica at moments with the, you know, you would feel this way even if this thing hadn't happened directly to you, and then pretending that Erica gave her the response that she kind of required. Like, I don't remember if it was Diana or Dorit in a confessional said something along the lines of like, I hope she doesn't believe the thing that she just said, which to me is completely asinine. Like, an asinine is the best word, the most forgiving word that I could use to say, to hear someone repeatedly tell you how they feel, repeatedly over and over say how they feel and how much they don't care, and then be like, wow, well, I hope she doesn't believe that, even though she's told me repeatedly and has acted that way. I really hope that that's not how she actually feels.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. Again, it's like it goes back to the Lea Michele of it all, but this would all be so different if Erica just had a real conversation and was like, listen, I have these earrings. I am currently in a legal battle. I care about these victims.
She doesn't.
I want to do. And that's that's the thing.
She can't say the thing that she doesn't believe. I just
have trouble believing that there are people like that.
And yet she's telling us so clearly every week that she is that person. You have to wonder why she stayed married to Tom for 20 years. It's not to say that she understood what was going on, but it was to say that these were two people who were obviously egotistical and narcissistic to the nth degree, that of course this person who assumed or who never thought to care or had no capacity, I don't know if he was a psychopath, I might be using that word incorrectly, but you know, who put himself and his own selfish desires ahead of the law, that thing he was supposed to defend at all costs,
right?
Like, to see Erica misrepresent the purpose of the law in which to support her own lack of empathy and her own true liquid apathy, is wild. A woman whose husband was disbarred for how many years of criminal activity to say repeatedly, this is about the law, this is about the law. There was one moment where she said something along the lines of like, these are not my victims. This is the heart of the matter.
Totally.
She is saying, these are not my victims, so these are not victims. And also, because these victims are coming after me to recoup money that, you know, like, I may have benefited from his crimes without actually knowing, whatever, that's a separate conversation. Because these people are coming after me to recoup some of what has been stolen, they are no longer victims in my eyes. They are aggressors.
Yeah.
And she has shown us that so many times.
Yeah.
So many times. So many times. So many times.
And yet, I still wear her tour shirt to gay parties.
And at what point, I mean, it gets into the, like, the weird, everyone is going to have a different response to this, but it gets into the weird, murky area of, like, she's definitely not aware that she's the punchline for some people, but is it okay as long as we're all in on the joke?
Right, right.
You know, and the joke being that she is in the words of that she is in the words of Jennifer Lawrence, kind of evil. I mean, that's what she's giving us. She's Disney
she's
villain.
Giving evil. Yeah,
she is. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And the ways that the women reacted this week in terms of like, okay, well, the way that she just phrased this is so much better for us. It only matters that she clarifies because her alliance wants to make sure that their reputation isn't soiled. It's never actually about the victims involved unless you are Sutton or Garcelle or Crystal, who really do specifically tie it back to the people who've been harmed.
Yeah. And thank God they're there, right? Like someone, at least someone's saying it.
Can you imagine if they weren't there, if it was just like Teddy Jo Carrot, who's doing her very best on her podcast to continue these dumb, asinine, blame the victim style propaganda, whatever, because that's her own price of admission to be Kyle's real sister.
Yeah.
Like, it would be tough.
Yeah.
You know, it would be really, really, really tough.
Someone's got to hold them accountable.
Right.
Think it would be.
She's a coach in something, but yeah. I don't think it's that. I thought the episode was so interesting because I think it continues to be revealing in a way. And I was appreciative to see someone step up and actually have it not be Garcelle or Sutton, because they have been carrying the burden of being gaslit by so many people in the Fox Force of like, how dare you make this person feel uncomfortable regardless of the cost of her high-flying life for so many years. It was nice to see Crystal at least step up. I thought that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And we haven't even gotten to the Kathy of it all. I mean,
listen, there's a Patreon episode that's going up this weekend.
Oh.
That is chock full of satchels of gold devoted to the sister-sister dynamic, because
yeah,
I cannot get enough of talking about Kathy and Kyle, what has happened, what's gone wrong, and what it means that Lisa Rinna is interfering.
I mean, Rinna's just like, talk about a shit stirrer.
To go on, I mean, like, I don't know what to say about those text messages except to say that if she really locked the door, how do we not have footage? Lisa Rinna is a producer at her core. Like, are you telling me you didn't take any video of, maybe not if it was in the Sprinter van, Kathy, like, screaming, but, like, where was she throwing things? Where was she crying? Why don't we have any photos or pictures or evidence of that?
Right. Why were cameras not up?
Why were cameras not up, meaning your iPhone? Like, where that evidence? But how do we feel about what seems to come, which is like a real breakdown in Kathy and Kyle's relationship, LOL, moderated, mediated, or driven apart by Lisa Rinna at the center?
It's dark.
It is really dark.
And for this to be the second sister that we're seeing this sort of play out with is troubling. And I don't know, like, you obviously the dynamic with the trio of them is tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But you sort of start wondering, like, well, is it Kyle? I don't know. It, like,
I mean,
Kathy doesn't, it does seem like we are going to see some an erratic side to Kathy.
Yeah, I think that Big Kathy, their mom, did a real fucking number on these sisters, plus the Hollywood dynamic of these kids working to support their family or to at least support their mom's dreams from when they were little babies isn't ideal to be a part of that Hollywood system. Imagine how it was then,
right,
let alone now. And they started when they were kids. That's a little concerning. But, you know,
did you watch the show? Kyle's American, what was it called?
Oh, American Woman? Did I make that
up? Sounds right. Yeah. I was about to say American Wife, and then I was like, that's not it. Yeah.
something. You know, I didn't do that.
No,
I didn't
either.
Do that. I'm not great with some of the, like, even like
ancillary
spinoffs. I don't do
scripted,
a lot of the spinoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, the additional stuff, I support it in theory, as in I try to remember sometimes the name, but that's kind of where it ends. But I feel like the Kathy of it all, it's like we've seen Kathy in so many little moments, and I am sure that there is a darker side to Kathy. I'm sure she can be aggressive and reactive, as all of the Richard sisters have proven themselves to be. And I think that big sister energy goes really far. But it's sort of wild to me that we're pretending that Kathy is the villain this season for 2 points. One, Erica Jane has literally out loud said she doesn't give a shit about anyone but herself, and we're talking about widows and orphans and burn victims. LOL. Like, we're still not getting. And she also doesn't understand what dismissed without prejudice means. Yeah. She keeps thinking that that's the court telling her she doesn't feel prejudice toward these people, which is like absolutely wild considering how much money, how much debt she's accrued from her seemingly excellent legal representation. So LOL on
that. I enjoyed how she said it. Without prejudice.
Without prejudice.
I said, like, babe, I don't think that's it.
I don't think that's it. That's why we need, that's why the confessional pushback is so important, where it's like Crystal being like, ding, ding. Yeah. Doesn't mean what she thinks it means. But also, sidebar, on the after show, Erica continues to support the idea of like, well, that case is over, but I still got a couple more. And it has been refiled in California. So I don't know what she's, and some of them are pretending that like that's a step. Kyle, in fact, says at one point, it's a step forward for us.
Yeah.
As people who support her, this is a step.
See, we were right.
We were right. And it's like, literally the thing that you're saying months after the fact. I don't know what the line is between filming and after show, where you're supposed to be responding with the feelings that you felt at the time that you were filming versus updates that you have now understood to be true.
Right.
So that's a little bit of a weird dynamic, but there's that. There's the like pretending that Kathy is a supervillain and seemingly an orchestrated campaign, possibly based on fact and reality, we don't know, but led by Rinna and Erica. People have a vested interest in shifting attention away from the things that Erica has said for hours and hours a week. There's that. And the part B of it is, as someone who is the sister of a brother, I don't have a sister. I do have a mother and understand the complicated dynamics of mother-daughter relationships. Understanding, as I've experienced with other people who are sisters of a sister, how complicated that is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take away from Kathy saying like heinous things about Kyle, but I would say, as Kyle herself acknowledged, that pain between relatives, between sisters, is very different and cuts deeper than fights between friends,
right?
Even spiritual sisters.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to get in the middle of that because I wouldn't understand it.
I think that's the sane response, or like that's the correct response.
I mean,
but we're talking about Lisa Rinna.
Right. Lisa Rinna's like, this is the best moment of my entire life.
Yeah.
It's like Kathy Hilton calling her sister a fucking bitch or twat or like whatever she did and throwing things. Hopefully probably not her bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
Maybe some of that 818.
Yeah.
Left a little sweet spot on the floor. Whatever she did, that is the thing, the missing piece here. Plus, how diabolical is it to insert yourself into warring sisters, understanding that you were the cause of how much tension and upset when you said that Kyle's sister was like days
close
away from death.
Yeah.
So you are the expert in this. The only thing that Lisa Rinna is an expert in this situation is driving Kyle and her sisters apart. And I think personally, even if it might feel nice as Kyle to feel like I have the support of a friend and understanding the mechanics related to housewives, I think it's super inappropriate to even like participate. And I know this is like Susie innocent of me, but like Kyle should know better than to participate in this. She knows that it's not going to end well. And if she cares about her family, I can't believe she's allowing Rinna to get in the middle. Is that unfair of me?
No,
I think Kyle accountable. She's in my top five, but I will like fucking bury her.
No, I think that's totally fair. And again, it just comes down to like, what do you care more about? The show that you're on or family?
What happens if you can't choose?
Right, exactly.
What happens?
Like, there's only one thing you can choose ultimately. Like, the show is going to run its course, or I mean, hopefully not, but her time will.
But also, like, if she is the star in this show and she knows, like, this is the thing, is that I think that Kyle, and her crew saw Erica's continued breakdowns and breakouts and said, this is bad for us, aka it is bad for the show because we will be reflected on poorly on the show. And I wonder how she is looking at the Kathy of it all. If she's able to, she seemed able to step outside of herself even when lashing out at Erica, deservedly. But looking through it through the lens of like how she will be perceived because of Erica's poor behavior. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if because this is genuinely her sister or because she's unwilling to do that, or maybe she is, if she stepped out of herself and analyzing how she would be perceived as a result of the Kathy stuff, but also how Kathy would perceive her in real life. Like the difference between, what was I listening to? It might have been Las Culturistas. Somebody brought up the phrase, perception versus projection. Mm. I don't remember who it was. Could have been Conan. Somebody. A great podcast that I listened to.
Great.
Somebody did great work. And I remembered that phrase because I was like, that's so interesting and feels so applicable to housewives. Like the difference between perception and projection, even when it comes to the Richard sisters dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do we do? Yeah.
I'm going to bring that to therapy this week.
Right? Yeah. My psychiatrist has been out of country for literally 4.5 weeks. No big deal. Who's counting? Yeah, but like, if she ever comes back, that would be something I discuss with her.
Totally.
So who, I mean, if you had to pick a sister.
Ooh.
Kathy, Kyle, or Kim.
Hmm.
Which sister would you pick? So unfair.
Like, this isn't my real answer, but.
Okay.
It kind of it maybe it is. I'm randomly one of the like 300 or so people that Kim Richards follows.
I knew you were going to say Kim. I don't know why. I knew it in my head.
Yeah.
I knew it in my head.
And I just don't know why.
I'm into that. Do you also love turtles?
I mean, take them or leave them. But I mean, yeah, I'll always love Kim.
So how do you feel about the conversation that some people, in quotes, are having about thinking ahead to next season, bring back Kim?
So here's the thing. Yeah. Love Kim. I think we've run our course with her.
I
think it's better for her not to be on.
Mm.
Ultimately, I think it's probably better for us. Some friends of moments, maybe, you know, I love when she pops up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know.
I think that's exact. I could not agree more.
Is Kingsley dead?
Kingsley, to us, was sent to a different, I think, after, like, almost eating up Kyle's daughter's thumb or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my God. That was a painful reunion. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
My daughter almost lost her hand. Like, that was intense.
Dark.
Down to the bone. And then Kim was like, no, she didn't.
Yeah.
When you're saying, like, your niece was, like, not in pain. Bitch, like, what? What are you doing for the dog? Yeah. You're doing this for the dog?
Yeah.
Well, are you doing this because you don't want your sister to be right?
Kingsley went back to Vanderpump Dogs.
I don't know what. Kingsley's kind of scared the shit out of me, I have to say. That dog was, like, a little scary. Not as scary as Ken, Kim's ex-boyfriend, but, like, nearly there. A 7 on the scale of adorable dog to Ken. You know, thinking about the Kim and Kathy of it all, is there a way... There's been sort of conversation around things that allegedly happened at the reunion that nobody knows. Like, we truly don't know what happens is what I'm saying. But the idea that maybe Kyle just kind of acquiesces and takes responsibility to either take responsibility for the situation. But even in this context, it's like, but Kathy's the one that exploded. So why would Kyle be the one apologizing? But anyway, Kyle maybe eats it and like does whatever to keep the relationship solid. What do you think of that possibility that they are able to resolve it because maybe Kyle doesn't speak her truth?
I'd be happy for them. I don't know if I see it happening. That like Kyle would just try to resolve the family issues or like with between her and Kathy.
Yeah.
That sort of.
It's a weird kind of hypothesis that I've seen bubble up. Little. Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be smart of Kyle. I think sometimes you have to do that in family, you know, like accept your pick your battles.
Yeah.
And maybe a televised reunion isn't the place to bring that stuff into. And I think that would, I'd give Kyle credit for realizing that and sticking to that. I don't know. I would like that moment, actually, I think.
The flip side of it is Kyle was able to express anger or rage or sadness or frustration with Dorit, not a sister, but a spiritual sister, close friend. Erica, I would say, not a real sister, but a good friend. I wouldn't say close friend.
Yeah.
But she was able to express at least explosions of feeling toward these women. And I think it was because she felt like she was safe to. Like, she felt like she could be angry at them. I wonder, in the ways that Kathy didn't do this, I don't think directly at Kyle. I think she did it in a sprinter van. I don't actually know that Kyle. Why am I assuming that Kyle wasn't there? Could Kyle have been there?
I don't know, actually, but I'm with you in my head that I don't think Kyle
was. There's no way that, yeah, because if Kyle was there, we would be hearing Kyle. There's no way that Kyle was there.
Right.
Right. So, like, you could look at it through the perspective of, like, was Kathy thinking she was in a safe spot in which to completely download and say whatever heinous thing she wanted to say? Was she just going to say that no matter what and didn't care who the fuck was in the van?
Right.
But also, is there a possibility that these women would feel safe enough in each other's presence to express anger and rage that they surely have felt about each other and seemingly quite literally do when it comes to some stuff relating to the Aspen trip? Like, is there ever going to be a time, and maybe we'll see that this season, when Kyle and Kathy can express anger to each other and not to others on the outside of this?
Mm. Yeah. And it's always tricky, again, just like the older sister of it all.
Yeah.
You know, Kathy's kind of run the roost for a bit. And what was it, like, you know, seeing Mauricio's success and, you know, it's Kathy, you know, fucking Hilton, who's so successful, but, like, she's watched Kyle
Bloom
almost usurp her publicly of
fame.
Yeah.
How does that play
and
into,
like,
it?
I think that's just, like, a fascinating family dynamic.
Yeah.
That
the little sister, the little sister is not supposed to eclipse the big sister, let alone the oldest sister.
Right.
And also, I always think, listen, Kathy was literally named after her mother. There's big Kathy and little Kathy. And the idea that since their mother passed away, seemingly Kathy, who's probably always been very strong and very vocal, very verbal, very opinionated, potentially taking on some of the, as the eldest sister and also the sister who has been famous and wealthy and seen as a huge success for a while, also taking on some of the maybe big Kathy characteristics that they all surely carry with them.
Totally.
But, like, some of that, there has to be a pressure there. I mean, her name is literally Kathy. Like, you can't get around that.
Yeah.
They have the same name. And she is the eldest sister by, I think, several years, right? Because it was a different dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, like, several years. I mean, there is also that strange dynamic there of, like, when she's reprimanding you or giving you an opinion, are you processing that because she's the older sister? Are you processing this, processing that too in, like, a maternal way?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I'm telling you this fucking Patreon episode.
Oh my God.
It's going to be up this weekend.
I've subscribed already.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Place to be. I really appreciate it, guys. If you are new to AG, Satchels of Gold are named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone from Scary Island.
Naturally.
Naturally, as one does. And their listener thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, you can email them to me at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com or slide into my DMs on Instagram @DameGally. But I got so many Satchels of Gold about the sisters' dynamic, which I can't get enough of. The Kathy and Kyle of it all is endlessly fascinating to me.
Yeah. And it's again dark to go on reality television as family, but it's why it does make good reality television.
When you're talking about stakes, how can you get higher than that?
Totally.
We've seen it in New Jersey. We've seen it with Teresa and Melissa and Joe.
Yeah.
Teresa, I think, said apparently this week, I'm absolutely going to horrifically misquote her, but like something along the lines of like, it's done now. There's no coming back from that. And we've been there before in New Jersey, but the idea that we're going there again with like relationships dying that maybe would have gone through some kind of conflict regardless, but watching that play out, it's a little OMG. And my question to you as we wrap is, do you think that Kathy will come back next season?
I don't think so.
Do you think she's done?
Yeah.
Because
what's
of-
the I don't think we'll see Kathy Hilton ever again.
The Denise of it all, the Denise throwback. But do you think that Kathy, let's say that Kathy says, I'm never coming back. Do you think that she would make that decision because of the way that Lisa Rinna treated her or the way she perceives Kyle's treatment?
I think because both, but I think it has, I'd imagine it has to do more with the Rinna and what I feel to be the show of it all. Mm. Like, I don't think we're headed into good Kathy waters. That's just a gut feeling. Yeah. But I think we're going to see some dark parts.
You know,
I don't know. This is truly just Raven Simoning, but like, but like, yeah.
I mean, the thing of it is, there is usually a second season curse, and she is a friend of. She's not a housewife,
well,
but
she was
we're
so
getting
great
it.
Season, you know, her she first was, like fan she, favorite.
Yeah, and so kooky and so quirky and eccentric. But maybe we're seeing some of the flip side to that eccentricity.
I mean, even the contract negotiations, though, before the season started, right? Like how we really almost didn't get her this season.
And, you know, that's tough. And I remember, I think Brian Moylan's recap either this week or last week referenced that. Like, could that also play into the ways that some of the Fox Force are not really loving Kathy, noting that she joined late and noting she joined after allegedly getting what she wanted?
Right. That I think absolutely. You know, like, to have this newbie friend of come in, and she knew she was Kathy Hilton is smart.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah, like we laugh at her like kind of ditziness, but like she knows what she's doing. So to be a mainstay on the show, then have this new person come in, demands this money, this contractual things, it's got to sting some. Mm-hmm. So I think we're definitely seeing that play out.
It's going to be an interesting process, I would say, because I feel like Kathy is probably the least prepared as a personality to handle a reunion in that way. And my guess is that like Erica and Rinna, I don't know, Kyle might be doing her own thing at that moment, like literally just kind of trapped in this. But my guess is that Rinna and Erica are going to go extremely hard for her at the reunion. And I wonder how, if at all, she will respond to this.
Yeah. Well, we learned there's on Watch What Happens Live, no cast photo.
No cast photo. Andy said that on the Watch What Happens with Michael Rapaport and Erica Jane. First time that had ever happened. No cast photo, no hugs.
Yeah. Crazy. So
I wonder if they did split dinners, which has happened before, certain members of the cast go to dinner in one place. Like, who went to the Polo Lounge after? Who got that golden ticket?
I don't know. It almost seems like no one maybe went to dinner. I have no idea.
Maybe everybody was. And also, it started super early, ended really late.
Yeah.
So maybe they were just too exhausted and over each other.
It's like, I can't even hug you.
Do you think,
let alone eat steak next to you?
God bless. Yeah. Do you think that Kathy and Kyle will be able to move on from this in a way, this is so unfair, but like in a way that works for both of them? LOL.
I hope so. I do hope so down the line. I mean, their kids seem, you know, they seem close to each other as kids enough to like make amends, at least for that part, but I don't know.
Paris is liking a lot of tweets that are like, Kyle can go fuck herself. So maybe not literally Kyle can go fuck herself, but like, isn't that mean how Kyle's behaving? So like, I think that the cousins are cool with each other. They understand that, like, they can't be responsible for their own parents' misbehavior or whatever, perception of that, whatever it is. But I don't think that Nikki and Paris are going to be shooting the shit with Kyle anytime soon. And that's for Kyle, who was, like, the spokesperson for the Hiltons for so many years. She was the talking head on all the, like, celebrity shows talking about Paris and Nikki, like, and also because of her relationship with them and because she does seem devoted in some ways to different aspects of her family, of course. I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be crazy if next season we could, like, see some of that? We're never going to see it. But, like, Paris and Nikki, like, interacting with Mom.
I know.
Talking about Kyle. It will never happen.
Yeah, but we can dream.
Can you imagine that contract negotiation of, like, you need to do it 2 hours filming, having caviar potatoes with Nikki and Paris. You need to talk about Aunt Kyle. It would never happen.
To be a fly on that wall.
To be a fly on the wall of that negosh of Kathy being like, you can absolutely go fuck yourself, but, like, how much? Would love to see it. Would love. It will never happen.
No, but we can dream. We can dream.
We can dream. Also, I'm so curious about your, you know, your thinking that Kathy won't come back, because I feel like it could really go either way. I would assume that she wouldn't come back, but I actually don't. Now I'm like, maybe she wants to restore her whatever.
I mean,
I don't know.
Who knows? I don't know.
I could really see her not coming back or putting herself on pause for, like, a second.
Yeah, I hope for her sake, maybe she's puts herself on pause.
Yeah. And also, I think it depends on who else returns.
Right. Well, we know Diana's gone.
I mean,
we don't know, but, like, right. Like, she's gone.
Are you going to BravoCon?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
If anyone has an in for Aspen Gay Ski Week or BravoCon, I'm desperate, please.
Because Rinna's not on. Yeah, we'll Rinna see. Hasn't been on that list for months because it was something that was talked about on AG or the Patreon or something at the beginning of the summer when they first said, though, here's, like, the current people signed on. Rinna wasn't on the list for Beverly Hills. And it came out on social this week that still continues to be true. So,
yeah. And she's been going on the, like, she's been tweeting about the producers, right? Like,
she did go on Instagram stories, which you can see on my Instagram, and said that maybe her own show producer was behind the bot attack, which was a psychotic move on her part.
Yeah. You don't do that if you're thinking of coming back. Yeah.
Can you imagine how that producer said good morning to everybody the day of the reunion? Good morning. Yeah. Good morning, Arca. Oh, who's that? Who's that walking by? I don't notice the lips. Okay, anybody else? Anybody good morning?
Yeah, but I do wonder what happened, because Rinna just seems so dependent on the show. Like, it doesn't seem like she would leave
willingly
on her own accord. Yeah.
And yet it's like, what happened? It's like the chicken or egg. Like, did Rinna see that the end was near and decide to go down in flames, or did she, is it coming down in flames because she decided that her end would be coming? Pretend those words make sense. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I gotcha. Yeah.
Like, who knows? Do you want her to come back?
I vacillate back and forth. Yeah. I honestly, like, she's grating. She's a shit stir. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes there are moments where I'm like, you know what? You're good television and you're not. And I like you. But she's not a good, like, I'm not a Rinna fan.
Yeah. She has
the Renaissance.
The Renaissance might be over. She has been so important for so long. And it's just so weird to be like, she's actually unnecessary and maybe bringing down the show in a way that's, like, not good for the show.
Right. Yeah.
It's weird to think that, because she has been really, I would say, an important part of Beverly Hills for a number of years, regardless of how you feel about her. She has been a very important villain.
She brought the bunny. She brought, you know, so many. Yes. Yeah.
And now it feels like a little bit of a chapter is closing.
Yeah.
I actually would be surprised if she doesn't come back, even though she has told us repeatedly in 85 different ways that she doesn't look like she's coming back. I would still be a little bit surprised, but I think it would be the right move.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll come.
We'll see.
Yeah, she would also stretch a cameo into, like, infinity and beyond. She would make sure to have a moment.
Yeah. I don't think we've seen the last of her, but
That might be the title of the app. I don't know. Listen, this has been such a delight, Ryan Bloomquist.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. This has been wonderful. Tell the EGs where they can follow you on social, anything you're working on that they can catch up with all things Ryan Bloomquist.
Yeah. You know, it's mostly just strange thoughts in my head on Twitter.
Safe space.
At Ryan Bloomquist, BLOOMQUIST. Yeah. I'm on Instagram too, but less active there.
Okay. I'm into it. I'm into activity.
R Bloomquist, but Again, if that actually, Instagram's more for the daddies inviting me to ski week. So.
Also, what was the name of Kathy's tequila?
Casa del Sol.
Casa del Sol, if you are listening to this podcast, we would love to partake. I would love to have some the next time I'm recording. Please slide into our DMs.
Buy a girl a drink.
Right?
Yeah.
I haven't Googled. I need to Google it. I need to do a little Goog.
Same.
How much did we say it was? Did we not say?
Well, I don't know.
No, we only knew 818 was 818 like 60.
Expensive. I imagine this is probably going to be like 50. I have no idea.
Rina did say at one point that like someone had sent her pink tequila and Kathy said it maybe...
Cameron Westcott?
Wait, what?
Cameron Westcott?
Did I say Cam?
No. You said pink tequila and I said Cameron Westcott.
I mean, she wishes. She and Kathy was like, maybe it was us. Do they have pink tequila? I would be super into that.
Not that I knew of, but again,
or maybe
Cameron should be on it. Yeah.
Kathy, if you're not making pink tequila, make it happen now. Speaking of making it happen, number one way to support the pod is joining the Angie's Girls Patreon. That sister episode will be up this weekend, I believe Sunday, and I'm so excited about it. So join the Patreon, number one way to support this sassy little social experiment, and you get exclusive bonus episodes like that one and so much more. Patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Follow me on Instagram. Send me your satchels through DM at Dame Galley. And this was such a joy. Thanks so much for coming on the pod.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, anytime. And I hope to see you in related programming, which is a little bit of a wink of things to come.
We'll just stay tuned
for more. Watch what happens. To be continued.
It'll be chic.
It'll be warm and cold and hot and whatever else Dorit says. Also, I do want to get a wind chime. I live in an apartment.
I have one.
Do you live in an apartment?
Yeah,
we both live in New York City. That made sense. What do you do with it?
It's in a drawer. A friend got it for me for my birthday very generously.
Oh my God, such a good gift.
But I do have a little outdoor terrace.
Okay, money.
Well, I was just having a debate. Like, he was like, do you call it a terrace, patio, or fire escape?
Yeah, I have a fire escape.
It's a real thing. But I live in a closet. Anyway, I was like, can you imagine putting a wind chime out there? Like, I would hate myself, let alone my next door neighbor.
Because
I also live in an alleyway, so it's just truly constant.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was just thinking to myself, ooh, I could put it on the fire escape, but like I don't actually want to hear it. I was thinking about getting one and then just like you, the way you came in, I always play Housewives music, guys. I have candles lit. I had Dr. Tiffany's propofol candle lit here in the office. I make things comfortable.
She made it nice.
I made it nice. But I was thinking, how fun would it be to hold a wind chime when AG guests get here and just hold it when they walk through, and just like it's a fun little, I need to look into how much that fucking wind chime is. I kind of want to do that.
Yeah. They've now renamed it.
Isn't it named after Dorit?
Yeah,
now?
The Dorit like chic wind chime.
Oh my God. That Jamie Lee is a goddamn genius and we love her for it. Anyway, on that note, guys, let me know your thoughts on this wind chime accoutrement. I feel like it maybe needs to happen. Maybe I should just bring it with me to BravoCon and just kind of hold it up and ring it.
That's a good BravoCon outfit,
right?
Maybe
just like me in sweats, but like holding the wind chime, being like, this is enough.
Totally. I might dress as the My Hand in Yours.
Yeah, it'll be BravoCon Halloween, whatever. Yeah. I'm into it, guys. I hope you're. Oh, I just thought of it. Oh, that's okay. What a chaotic ending to this week's episode, and I'm so into it. Let us know your thoughts and feels on wind chimes and more. Are they hot? Are they cold? Are they chic, c'est la vie? We want to hear from you, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.